show debris is only one of several.
Log Talk Radio.
They're on the road. They're on cars.
Log Talk Radio.
No.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Radio. You have been led by the spirit to Prophecy Keeper Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of White Roots Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide. And then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. Born at the Bell Mission Cherokee community in California, Lee Standing Bear Moore is a Ktuhwa Cherokee storyteller, historian, author, and lecturer. Standing Bear studied American Indian history and customs for more than 35 years. Bear began his long career of conducting wedding ceremonies at the sacred Manitaka, Place of Peace. Today, Bear produces American Indian wedding ceremonies across the country. Lee Standing Bear Moore was awarded the Silver Star, Bronze Star, and the Purple Heart 38 years after the Tet Offensive in 1968 in Vietnam. He received the awards on September 6, 2006. Major General John Chastain presented the awards at the Hot Springs Village in Arkansas. Lee said that the true heroes of that day gave their lives for others. It just so happened that he survived. Grand Chief Wobleza is a holy man and wisdom keeper of indigenous peoples. As a noted American Indian spiritual leader, elder, storyteller, singer, and cultural consultant, he has traveled across the continent for over 30 years gathering stories, songs, and dances from the elders of many tribes. Now he shares that wisdom with the people across the continent and around the world. Wobleza, who was a member of the cast of the famed motion picture Dances with Wolves, is a great-grandson of the famed Dakota Sioux Chief Tiwakan Sacred Lodge, who was instrumental in restoring peace between the Dakota and the United States Army during the Great Indian Wars. He is a follower of the teachings of the famous Lakota holy man Chief Tatanka Iutake, Sitting Bull. Thanks for being with us this evening, and your mics are live.
Hello.
Yes, your mics are live.
Good evening to you, Wobleza. It is an honor to sit on the same telephone line and have a chance to speak with you again.
How Migakia.
If David Muir is buying a car,
thank you, brother.
Well, it's an honor to have you both. And been a while since we spoke. Interviewed Grandfather Lee 4 or 5 years ago, and haven't had a chance to. And this is an honor. It's the first time we've spoken with Grandfather Will Blazer. But fellas, I'd like you to just chat and catch up.
Combat headquarters in Virginia.
Old home week.
Well, I personally would like to know what are you up to these days, Wobleza?
Well, these days I'm still following the stories and messages of the prophecy keepers around the Americas. I've been traveling down all the way down to near Central America to meet with all the continents of American spiritual leaders of their indigenous tribes, and they've been sharing prophecies and getting ready for the new calendars that are about to appear that people put together. Just as they put together them over 5,200 years ago, the Aztec and Mayan calendars. So it's really wonderful work, and it's really important work because we need to make a path and show our children the ancient teachings of all the peoples of peace.
And to prove it, he says, just green checks on both cars. No accidents, no damage reported to Carfax.
Well, sounds like you've been getting around.
Question. Yes, I've been working a lot with Don Alejandro of the Mayan Council of Elders. He's the Grand Elder, and he shared a lot with me about the prophecy work that they have been doing for many, many generations, and what's about to come. They call the shift of the ages, and the new way of life, the new world that we are in the process of developing here on Mother Earth, and teaching all our children. The main thing is the message of love.
We weren't about to be outboxed by the dealership. We were back on that lot.
That is the key. Yes. To all prophecy.
I'm David Muir with ABC News. We have a few questions about
love,
the Carfax
yes.
and selling your used cars.
I find it quite interesting that
we have a police report
you examine so many different cultures and so many different stories and
to our pal Jerry here.
If you are able to see them in perspective, that is from walking the circle and looking at them from different viewpoints, you see that they all boil down to one thing, love. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful idea.
Do you not see something wrong there?
And I understand that you've been doing a lot of work with the sacred Manitaka site down there in Arkansas, and that a lot of the prophecies that you shared with the people are about to come true as well.
And your competitors.
Yes. My. I wasn't aware that maybe you keep up with such things.
Yes, I always keep
a little small Manitaka. But, yes, Manitaka keeps us busy all the time. There is not a day that goes by that we do not have visitors come from many different lands, different places, and they come and show their respect, and they make prayers and give thanks, and hopefully we know that they return home. And the one thing that they hold up high, higher than anything else, is the blessings and the miracles that that they have learned about as they have come here. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a great healing for all of them as well.
We are preparing ourselves for the moment, I suppose. Then one prophecy of Manitaka will becoming a reality. We did not realize the tremendous importance of this prophecy, I don't think so, until just this last year or two. But many things have come to pass that underscore and underline the importance for those people who are listening right now that may or may not know much about Manitaka. The word itself comes from our brothers far in the south. It comes from the Tula, who were predating the Maya, predating the Olmec and predating the Aztec. And their word for Manitaka means the unbroken circle or the place of peace. That is what an unbroken circle is. It's a place of peace. And it is from the Tula that we take this word. And they were the ancient keepers of Manitaka. But Manitaka is a site where people came for thousands of years to give thanks and to pray. And while they were here, they benefited by learning what I call the secrets of life that allowed many peoples, many walks, many tribes to survive in a good way. But the prophecies of Manitaka that I speak of this evening have to do with, Excel, which is also a word of the far south. It's Excel. It was the great feminine energy, the great feminine spirit. And today we call that great feminine spirit that resides at Manataka, we call her the Rainbow Woman. And because she represents not only the red man, but also the black man, and the yellow man, and the white man. It is said that Rainbow Woman, or Ixchel, presided over the peace of Manataka, the peace of the valley, because so many tribes would come, and many times tribes would not be friends with each other. They would be enemies. It was necessary that when they came here together and they prayed in peace. And they've not only prayed in peace, they found their own personal peace. But there were times when tribes did not quite understand each other and became opposed to each other. One such case, and many of the stories of Manataka have to do with love. One man falling in love with one girl, and as they fell in love here, they would become married, and then journey back to usually the bride's home.
George, come on, Georgie.
But
come on, Georgie.
One such case, Georgie. There was a chief who did not like the people of the South, and this young man had come and fallen in love with his daughter, and he disliked this very much, and so he decided that he was going to take retribution not only against the young man but against his family as well. And as he began his plot, the Rainbow Woman, or Ixchel, the great feminine energy and spirit of the mountain, awoke. And she stood before him with two eagle feathers, one in each hand. And as she laid the first feather down, it was a warning that you should not break the peace of Manataka. And it would be much better to fly away than to challenge that peace. And she then stood there, and the chief hopefully would give up on his anger, his resentment. In this particular case, he failed to do so. And that night he began to plot all over again. And for a second time, the woman came to him, the great feminine spirit, Ixchel, Rainbow Woman. And she laid the second feather. And as that happened, he was seized upon by everyone around him, including his own people of his own tribe. And they physically drug him out of the valley to the place that is known as the place of no name, the place of great darkness. That is a simple story where it was demonstrated how the great feminine spirit of Manataka kept the peace of the valley. But today something else is happening here.
I need to go.
We realize that this world that we live in, and Warblazer, forgive me, because it is my full intention to hear all that you have learned, and to give you the all the time that we can. But these things occurred, these simple lessons of life on how to get along and how to be with each other in love, things did not remain the same. This country was invaded by many people from foreign lands, and the old ways were gone, and the people did not come to Manitoka anymore. It was far too dangerous. It was far too far to come. And so the lady of the mountain receded back into the mountain and began to sleep where she sleeps today. But this world that we live in is on the brink of many, many critical problems. Critical we look at ecological disaster worldwide, not just here in the United States, but in many countries across the world, ecological disaster happening. At the same time, we are facing a world that is near economic collapse as well. You're so close to that edge. That rubber band of world economics has been wound so tightly, it may break at any moment. I think these are things that you already know.
Whoa.
I'm not telling you anything that anyone doesn't know already. We are living in a world right now when politics is so fragile, so delicate. We are at a time in history when more and more people appear to be leaving the organized religion, and at the same time their spirituality appears to be increasing. On October the 20th of this year, 2012,
sharply, just
at Manitoka will gather 8,844 people who will form a circle around the entire 7-mile base of the Manitoka Mountain. There they will pray, they will sing, they will drum, and they will give thanks. The moment that they touch and hold each other's hands in this great circle, they will create a holy vibration. By the grace of God and through the power of Spirit,
would not be an understatement.
Holy vibration will be created. A new consciousness will be born.
Haven't learned or lessons.
If
you can give a grade,
a light will be born. And this light will grow and grow and grow and spread to many, many lands. In the morning hours, many processions from different directions, from all the directions, spiritual elders of many faiths, even Catholics and Protestants and Buddhas and Congolese people and many peoples of different faiths will form processions up the mountain, and at daylight
there
will be sunrise ceremonies. The shofar of the Bible, the ram's horn, will blow all over the mountain.
It's only when.
And at the same time, the drums will begin. The drums will pound, lightly pound.
But according to the Federal Highway Administration,
I see near the time of the moment when they all will gather together, choirs from every church in Hot Springs will gather at the base of the mountain, and they too will form processions to where they will stand in the circle, and they will be singing their spiritual choirs, their spiritual songs. And then at that moment, all the church bells in Hot Springs will begin ringing all at the same time. After the moment itself occurs, spiritual elders of many faiths will be speaking from platforms in various locations around the sacred mountain and deliver the path, deliver the messages of the path that they have chosen.
And he said,
it will be a time when we set aside all differences of religion. It will be a time when we set aside all differences of color, nationality, politics. In this great circle, 7 miles long, will be people who are ready, who have prepared themselves for this awakening. How long will this awakening take? Who knows how long? This is, awakening does not take a moment. It takes generations. It takes lifetimes.
So it's not a matter of...
And we are simply practicing what we know to have worked for thousands of years in the circles of Manitaka. We are repeating those. And as we do that, it was dreamed by a high Catholic mother in Canada. She and three of her Catholic nuns all dreamed the same dream the same night. And it was the same dream that was dreamed by two Maya elders who had come to Manitaka on the same day. And it was dreamed by many people at the same time. And this is where we come to the understanding that this is the time that we are supposed to be doing this.
At 129, one of the oldest in the country, new
ramp. I think once this is all over and all gone,
Patner says, is New York's 3.5 miles.
The bear is going to disappear. Yeah, it's a good time.
3.5 miles. So,
I have been totally consumed by this for many months now.
And
I'm quite happy. There will be no charge, no fees, no monies of any kind passed. We will be asking no one's money for anything, for any reason. We must keep money as far out of our circle as possible. And when people come to the circle, we ask that they empty their pockets and their purses and all things of money. We will not be doing any fundraising of any kind. There will be no vendors of any kind during the entire event.
So I get that.
This is the way we've been told to conduct this. For the best and for the best good of all. I don't know how we're going to do it.
I look at you as chicken butter.
I don't think it makes much difference if we know how or not, because if we follow spirit, we follow the will of the Creator. We have no need for such things.
This and the nation's bridges will take time and $1 billion.
But for now, we feel beautiful.
Yes, I believe that last time I spoke with you, you talked about this, these,
the bad bridges across the country,
having these dreams. and that there was something about to occur, but I didn't know exactly what. It was just this past week when I was getting the messages.
Yes, yes. Yes, I gave an assignment. We have a young man. In fact, I have many students that call every day about 3:30 or 4:00 in the afternoon. It depends upon where they live, you know. But they call, and three of them are Muslim, Hidden Islam, and three are Christian. And then we have two others that I don't believe that we can call them. They have a religion, so to speak, but they have many questions. One of them is a young man who wrote a most profound theological kind of article, and it's called Reconciliation. Very deep, but very enlightening, because he reconciles the differences between American Indian spirituality and Christianity. He was 13 when he began having the knowing that he would be, you know, doing this article. He was 16 years old when he actually allowed me to publish it. And I would encourage people to go to manataka.org and find the article on the front page that talks about American Indian spirituality versus Christianity and how they may be and are reconciled. It's a part of this bringing the people together that I spoke about. It's not Bear that's doing it. It's the Creator that's walking through and walking with so many people, and in this case, with children, who are coming up with these profound things to share with everyone.
You can't take away my devices.
I gave David Three Dogs an assignment. I said, David, and I really didn't honestly know what I was doing. It just came out of my mouth, and I said, David, I want you to go find the highest Swami in the United States, the highest Rama in this country of the Hindu faith. I personally don't know anything about the Hindu people. I mean, I have not read anything that I am aware of, or I have not had much contact with the people of the Hindu faith. As great and wonderful as it is, I am ashamed to say that I have not had much exposure to it. But regardless, something said. It was Spirit that said, send this boy to find the Swami. And a month went by, and I heard nothing from this young man. And then a month and a week went by, and a month and a half went by, and nothing. But then one day I got an email, and he said, Grandpa, I have contacted the Swami. And then later he called me. He told me that when he went in, there were many priests in different parts of the temple that were conducting ceremonies, but he was led way in the back into a small room where this old man sat. And the old man really didn't appear to be too interested in what our young friend had to say or do. I said, well, what did you say to him? He said, well, I didn't have much to say to him except I began to tell him the story of Manataka. He said, oh, okay, good. And he said, but the old man just didn't pay much attention until I got to a certain place in the story, and then all of a sudden he set forward and leaned in to hear my story better. And then, a few minutes later, he stopped me, would not let me go on. And he stood up and he walked outside. A few minutes later, he came back with another priest. One of the priests I had seen was performing ceremony in the temple as we came in. And then this man, this priest, sat down with the swami, and I started all over again. And as I got to a point in the story of Manataka, they both stopped me, stood up, went outside. 2 minutes later, came back with three more priests. And they sat and they listened again to the same story of Manataka. But this time, they began to mumble near the end of the story. They were talking among themselves. And all of a sudden, the Swami stands up and he says, "We are coming. Grandpa, I did not even invite them. And here they're standing up saying they're coming." And then he said, that this Swami, after the priests had gone back to their duties, the Swami said to him, "I know that it was rude for the mumbling to begin." And he said, "Well, why?" David asked him, why were they saying Mandataka? Mandataka. And he said, "Well, that in our way, the Lord God Vishnu, who is an avatar of God, before he ascended into heaven, he went to a place on earth that was had many, many hot water pools. And we call it the place of peace, Mandataka. And it was at that place of peace that the Lord God Vishnu first purified his body in the hot water pools, many beautiful stones all around it. And then he purified his emotions, his inner self. Then, in the last days, he purified his spirit, his soul. And then, he was allowed to ascend into heaven." And the Swami explained to three dogs. He said, "We have never known where this place was at before you came. We have looked throughout our country called India, and we could not find it. We've looked in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we have looked in Sri Lanka and so many different places, and we have never been able to find this one place. But here you as a child come and tell us."
They didn't know about Ameristan.
I suppose not. I suppose not. They, I don't know. I really don't know the different terms and the different words and the ways of belief that they have. Of course, we respect them, but we certainly don't know much about that. You know? But that's an interesting story. And they will be coming in great numbers to the moment on October the 20th. We know that we have received letters from the people of the Congo, and high priests of the Congo will be coming. We know that the Catholics, at least of one order or more, will be coming as well. So I went to a chaplain's meeting. I'm a member of the Chaplain's Association, and I went to a meeting, and I asked for a few minutes to tell the priests and tell the ministers there that about the event that is coming, and I waited until the last minute before everyone was going to go home, and Lisa began to tell them they wanted more to know more information, and before it was all over, every last minister in the place signed a piece of paper joining the effort. So, we have not been able to speak to one minister of any faith who has not immediately said, I want to be a part of that. It's a part. It has to do with awakening.
You're like terrible.
The great feminine energy, the spirit of the mountain. Because it is said in prophecy that when the people of all colors, of all rainbows, from many directions come, and they all hold hands in a circle at the same time and give thanks, will the great energy be released? No, it is happening.
There's much to be shared about.
I have decided the best thing that I can do is get out of the way. Just get out of the way and let things happen as they choose to happen. And all the beautiful things that have been happening for the last 6 months to a year now, I am very grateful to say that, you know, I've had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with it, that it has just happened. And so, I take my cue from that. Shut up and get out of the way. Yes.
Well, this is all a timely event because as I've been listening to the prophets of today, you know, they carry messages to many prophets of many different. They talk about this time when the leap of life is going to be to Mother Earth. And they call it the year of the opening in the year 2012. And they talk about a rainbow of light that is going to occur, and that this feminine energy is going to come out of all the mountains around the planet. And so they also say that there's going to be times going to come when this rainbow, four rainbows join all around the earth. And so what you're speaking of is all the greatest plan. It's all coming together. And we're seeing it in the most almost like unique or unbelievable ways. We don't have to do anything but just, like you say, get out of the way and let it happen. And me as a prophecy keeper for the children, I travel around and I listen to their stories as well as I listen to the prophecies of the elders. And so they said that there's this peace is coming, and it's a peace of 1,000 years, they say. And many others say peace of many, many more years than that, But I went to a huge gathering in 1993 after leaving the place where the sacred red stone comes from. The Pipestone Quarries, I was at a ceremonial dance there. And no sooner, within 2 hours of coming out of the dance, participating, when this lady from China and this lady from Switzerland said, you must come with us. I said, why? And I said, I need to give my thanks to many people for the wonderful ceremony. No, you must You must gather your things and you must get in our car and we have to take you someplace. We just heard about this thing today. And I said, what is it? And she said, it's the gathering after 100 years. 1893, they had the first parliament of world religions where people came together and discussed their religions without any saying one was better than the other. And so this one was occurring in Chicago, and so they took me to Chicago, and where I met many, many, many priests and priestesses and spiritual leaders from all over the planet, and it was a very powerful time. And I just was wondering what would come out of this gathering, and it was just a foretelling of what was going to happen now, that people would really come together, you know, and hold hands in this great circle of light in many places, but where the rainbow is occurring in the Valley of the Rainbows, that's all part of the great soul of light. And you're telling about it, and you're sharing, and you've been opening the road for it to occur, for people to come re-experience the great place of peace.
Yes, thank you, brother. That is an amazing story that you tell.
This is a prophecy, keepers from the many different continents. They have been coming together, and they've been sharing this these messages, and it's all about the year 2012. And they don't even know about the Mayans, but they're talking about the same time, the year of the opening. And they said there were just two, long ago, in the beginning, there were just two main tribes of Africa. And those are all going to come back into knowledge among the people. And they said it's going to be a time when we must teach our children and speak, let the grandmothers speak to all of the people. And we all must have this message in our mind that we need to say stop. These four main things, which stop war, stop anger, stop greed, stop violence. And this is the time where we live and all these are occurring, and they need to stop. And how will they do that? By us coming together and holding hands with each other as members of one family, of all the children of Mother Earth. So this is a great thing that's going to be one of the three parts of the opening.
Yes,
what's coming in the future.
I do not know how things will occur. How these great, great changes of human nature will occur. It appears that we have become so competitive against one another, so distrustful of one another. We have built an entire world society on the idea of scarcity, that Mother Earth cannot possibly supply it all to all the millions of people, so therefore we must compete and against each other. And that is not the truth. It is anything but the truth. But this is how commerce is best conducted. And I wonder, how is it that man will devise a different paradigm, a different way of conducting ourselves? And I I don't really worry about it as far as if it can be done or not, because I know that if people have the right frame of mind, they have the right heart, that we can accomplish anything that we desire. We just simply have a different paradigm in which it's built, in which it's made.
You can take a shift in consciousness, and that's what
a shift in consciousness is what it's going to take. And I eagerly await that time when we, our awareness, our knowing can be increased to such a level. You know, we live in the most unique time of all of human history. There is no time that has ever been that is as great as this one. I believe that Creator has given us eyes in the backs of our head, you know, to see all the history before us. I subscribe to, I think maybe three, it was four, but now it's three different archaeological and anthropological history type publications that I see. And every day, every single day of the week, there are new discoveries about what was, what our history before us. Our grandfathers knew nothing about their history. But we know volumes, tons of information about our past, so we can know where we have been and how we got to where we are now. At the same time, we have eyes that are situated all around our head. We can see 360 degrees all around us, from one end of the earth to the other, from far above earth to far below. We have eyes to see like we never have before. And at the same time, we have the ability to see around the corners of time. I know it is said no human should venture to go that direction, to go that way. But prophecies of many nations have been doing that for centuries, telling us what will be around that corner of time. So if you listen and you adhere to, you know what prophecies say, you can see around that corner of time. But we can also, there are many other ways to see around that corner of time as well. But I believe that Creator has given us eyes to see like never before, because we will become witnesses to an event, to something, to some great, great thing that is going to happen, that human beings are going to put this into our very DNA. So we are the witnesses. We are not only witnesses for ourselves, but all of our ancestors before us are in our bodies right now as we sit in these great grandstands of life, are going to be witness to this great thing that is coming. I look to it with great happiness, with great joy. I know it's going to be a magnificent thing that we are going to witness.
Yeah, as I've been attending many gatherings, which we call the Star Knowledge of the way the indigenous people view the Star Knowledge. The Star Knowledge of people, we call Oyate in the culture, the Xhosa language, we call the Star Nation people. We say that they are watching us, because we all came from the stars, and we were all sent to this wonderful planet, Mother Earth, to be experienced this this change and this new way of being. It's like we're all the prayers of many, many, many millenniums of time. We've been prayed from way, way back by the story people that these children would be born into this time and this era when something really great would occur. And a great, beautiful thing. And so all they say, we just have to stand outside at night and watch all the stars. And they are all watching us. They want to see what these children of today are going to do, how they're going to partake in this wonderful shift to a higher elevation of life that is occurring now.
Yes.
It's a wonderful time, but you know, the prophecies, as I talked to many great elders here in North America and Central America, South America, they always say when you carry a prophecy, you have a great responsibility. And the responsibility is that, you know, you might have received a vision about a prophecy that's coming. But the most important thing is that you tell what's going to come, but you're also going to tell the positive meaning of life, the positive change that this will bring. So in order to get to that place, maybe there may be some difficulties or trials and tribulations to smooth out the road.
Yes,
but
yes.
So you always never leave give a prophecy without telling the end of the story. So that's what you know we talk so much about this one man who is prophet carries many prophecies about this dark time on earth, but he doesn't tell about the light. I mean, maybe he did. But maybe it just isn't really true. I mean, people have just left out that part or forgot that part. But all of the wonderful, wonderful prophecies I've seen that are written in stone all over this wonderful planet of ours, they're written in petroglyphs and pictographs. They have wonderful, wonderful outcomes. And it's just the way you have to examine them. You know, the one I
exactly
looked at in New Mexico, it took 900 years for the elders to find out what it meant and how we should proceed with life. But it's wonderful. The outcome is wonderful, that the tree of life will once again blossom upon Mother Earth.
Gentlemen, do either one of you need to take a short break?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we play? Why don't we play for a pause for the cause? Just under 5 minutes, we'll play the Sitting Bull Memorial song, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, we're back, gentlemen.
Oh. Oh.
Good.
We can't relax.
You have a chance to get refreshed.
What makes you relax?
Oh, absolutely.
The pause that refreshes, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not talking about PepsiCo.
Fresh years. You know, I remember. Paying.
Always the way first pancake.
I forgot the name of the big town in Mississippi. Where the hospital was at.
Jackson.
Jackson, Mississippi. Will Blaise, you were there, and your head was so injured so much, and I prayed so hard. And you would walk strong and well with us again one day. And here you are.
Come in.
Yes. Yes.
said there would be a long, dark tunnel that you would walk through.
Romantic.
And, but at the other end of that tunnel, there would be tremendous, beautiful blessings. Many blessings. And I hope all of it right now that you're beginning to experience them.
Especially when you're young.
No, oh, yes, many wonderful, wonderful lessons. You know, I just called last month, and, you know, we were talking about finding old things from the past. Well, I guess in France they found an old cave, a huge cave with ancient paintings. You may have read about that somewhere in the archaeological magazine.
Yes,
and I can't recollect the name of it, but there's a woman over there who heard of me, and she wants to bring me and a couple other indigenous spiritual people over there next year to examine the cave and to try to see what we can transcribe from the painting, what it means. And that was really awesome.
Is it in France?
No? Yes, in France.
Are you fellas aware of the... a few years ago, they found a projectile point embedded in a campfire that had been buried for, they figured, 17,000 years. And that point, they discerned, was halfway in between the Clovis culture, which originated here, and the Solutrean culture of southern France. Now, the Catuwa elders had always said, and our nation was pulled together in 1750, and we were told that we migrated here in boats before the Stone Age. And this discovery, which you can get online and watch a National Geographic video called "Who Really Discovered America?" or "Ice Age Columbus," and you can read the whole story.
So many ancient things discovered now that we forgot about, that how we knew each other many, many thousands of years ago. I was just talking about the pipestone.
Right.
Pipestone quarries, and about how, you know, even 2,000 years ago, the African people got a message that we were the protectors of a sacred site that had the most sacred stone on the earth. And from my visiting the place, it's called the Pipestone Quarries. Back in the 90s with my sister, she was a spiritual interpreter, and we talked with the spirits of the land who are written in stone. There was like 57, I think, stone carvings right around the Three Maidens there. And then in the 30s, late 30s, somehow some people got in there, and they used chisels, and they took all those took this out of there and took them to the World's Fair, and when they brought them back, they were missing almost half of them. And the people who were still in the stone there in Pipestone said to my sister for us to tell the people that a long time ago we were sent here from a galaxy long, far, far away. And we were sent here to bring a very special gift to all the children of Mother Earth, and it's the gift of peace. And we were split apart recently, so we were like a family. We had a place where the Creator gave us to live here on Mother Earth, and now we're split up. And so we'd like to put out a call for those who took our relatives, we don't know where, to other countries or wherever, to please bring us back, and we'll raise it. Could you please, when they get all these pieces of the main petroglyphs back together, tell the people however they can glue them back together, or put them back in their sacred holy home that they have here in Pipestone, Minnesota, and so that we can do our work. And because it really could be a dangerous precipice for the people to not have us together to help us share the wonderful spiritual gifts we have with the children of Mother Earth. And so I told that to the National Park Service leaders there, and they tried their best to gather the ones they had, and they had them laying all around outside where people just walked on them and stepped on them and threw trash on them. They brought them inside and they created a separate room where they placed them all together. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. And they're all there. And I was just there this past Easter weekend with my family and my granddaughter. And I prayed there on my hands. There was a picture with a handprint, and I put my hand in the handprint, and I prayed, please forgive us for not being fine, all your other relatives. But we want to acknowledge that we're trying our best to put you back together so the people can come here to pray.
It is a beautiful story. With your permission, brothers, I would like to offer you a prayer.
Oh,
Heavenly Creator of all things, O great spirit of our ancestors, I raise my pipe to you, to your messengers, the four winds, and to the Mother Earth who provides for your children. Give us the wisdom to teach our children to love, respect, and to be kind to each other, so that we may grow with peace of mind. Let each of us share all the good things that you have provided for us on this earth. Or stay on the way. Yehovista. Ani.
Hope.
Thank you.
Lamea. Hello.
Voila.
Thank you for that prayer. Wonderful place of peace there as well. And the other part is you know, the hot springs, the waters of life are so, so important for all the people. They must be always kept in their sacred.
Yes. Beneath us is what scientists call the great Arkansas Aquifer. But it is so deep and it is so wide that it actually composes most of the state of Arkansas beneath the ground, about 30 miles. It also flows down into Texas, over into Oklahoma, down into Louisiana and Mississippi, and a little bit over into Tennessee as well. It is that large. It is the largest underground lake in the world.
Wow.
And it comes up right here at Mauna Kea. I call it the birthing water. The birthing water of the mother, because it is the original water that was here at the beginning. It is being held for us far beneath the surface of the earth. On top of that very hard rock crust is our stratus of crystal. That are over 30 miles wide, and at least 40 miles length. And from above, if you could envision it this way.
Yes.
Yes.
Bump it, blow it up, and let it fall to the ground.
Oh, it looks like we lost him again. Okay, folks, I'm going to...
I don't
know what's going on. Yeah, just... this is crazy tonight. We might just have to end early, unfortunately. Still got 38 minutes to go. Okay.
You should go to the battle stage. Music has... His brain is just going to explode, so... I need your help. Okay. Maybe need to talk some sense into him. And then I thought, wait a minute.
Sorry, folks, please stand by.
Your dreams slowly die. And then I was like, I do. She lives right next door. Confirmation, I've had a very successful day. But if you need someone to talk to about how hard the business is, I'm your gal. Oh, thank you so much, Reba. Sage, Sage, sweetie, come on in. Okay. Bye. Yeah, more than anything.
Thanks for your patience, folks. Please stand by. We're attempting to get Grandfather Lee back on the line.
Hello?
Okay, are we all three back on the air now? Okay, sir.
Yes.
I have no idea what's maybe it's just spiritual opposition. I've done 30 interviews and never had to drop a call. So.
Yes, that's fine. It's just a boogie burst coming in.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
The first one was at 11:11.
Ah.
Ah.
Oh, interesting.
George.
Oh, anyway, so where were we?
Well, there were so many things that we have to. It is so interesting to have the opportunity to, you know, to sit in and talk with our old friends again. We never have a time here at Manataka that we get along. Because there's always someone knocking on the door.
Like for me too.
But it's just good to be able to talk of these things that we're talking about this evening.
Well, I don't know. I wrote it when I liked you, but I didn't know.
And you are so right. I hear so many people talking about the 2012 thing, and they're talking about it in such a way that it is gloom and doom and it's apocalypse and all of that. And then I hear others who talk about fear of things like the government. And it's not to say that we, you know, we're not living through some very interesting times, some very trying times. But they speak about it in such a way that it creates fear. And this is just the opposite of the way that we need to be moving in order to create this new consciousness, this mass consciousness that will allow our spirits to rise above all of the ills and troubles of today's world.
You have to. Or you're going to be miserable for
I know the Creator will take matters into his own hands, and Mother Earth will take things into her own hands, and whatever power that some people have, that you, the so-called instances of fear to control people, will not be able to hold it. Hold on to that, because it's not in our real destiny. Our real destiny is for life.
Yes.
This is what we are about to have. Appear in everyone's dreams, or their visions, their minds. They will hear these sounds coming from the oceans. They hear these songs coming from the air. I mean, all these things that would happen long ago, they're about to occur again. But just to let us know that things are going in the right direction.
Yes, of course. It is when people feel like they are overcome with worry because of the employment situation or the economic issues or the political problems of the day or whatever they may be, people, all they need to do is to walk outside, pull their shoes off, find that tree, find that place that's nearby where they can close their eyes and smell the wind. They can feel the breeze on their cheek, where they can feel the Spirit of God all the way around them. They know they're never alone. Calm themselves down to where they can hear these songs that you speak of. Yes. And when that happens, they have already begun this great transition. They're removing themselves from all of that fear. They're placing themselves into a place of bliss and to joy. And those who speak of anger towards others, those who speak of angry things, we just need to not pay much attention to them anymore. Because they're not representative of where we need to go and where we need to be.
Totally coincidental that Sage lives next door.
He does?
Right.
I've
been so blessed in my life to meet so many young people that share their dreams with me, and they've meant a lot to me in the Polynesian Center. And, you know, one young lady told me, you know, she said, you know, there's going to come a time when we're all going to wake up, and then we're going to realize that we need to start on that path of life, and we will walk through the mountains, we'll walk through the caves, walk through the trees, we'll walk through the valleys, wherever it is we're supposed to, we're led to walk to go together and pray for this new symbol of peace that's about to appear on the horizon. We will do it, and we won't need any money. We won't need any gas. The way God showed it to her, he said, you know, me and my dad and my mother and my brother, we all jumped in the car, and I looked at the gas gauge in the car, and the gas tank was empty, and my father said, don't worry, we're going to make it where we need to go, and they were going to the Black Hills. She'd never been there, and in her vision, she went to the Black Hills, and she saw this beautiful place, beautiful river, and beautiful valley, green grass, and trees, and all these wonderful things that were there, and she said that we didn't need any of these things. And she said, some of the people that didn't get in the cars and go on that path with us, they wanted to go, and they asked my father about it. I said, why can't we go with you in your car? And he says, well, I told you that God is coming, and that you were supposed to start praying. You were supposed to start loving one another. And you were supposed to stop all this jealousy and anger and violence. And so, you know, we can't take you with us on this road. It's all up to your own individual selves of how you walk your walk of life and how you help one another, you know. And so that was just a symbology for a dream. It meant a lot to me, you know, what she was sharing. That all these things aren't so important. These material things aren't so important. When you really, really, truly find out what the boundless love is all about, you know.
Oh, never mind.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes. It is. We, we may have a great deal of time before these transitions begin to take place. I believe that they've actually begun to take place. I believe that the transitions began a long time ago, and we've not been aware of it. But now our awareness, our consciousness is coming to a point that we are keenly tuned in to these things. And Manataka only plays it plays a role. It plays a fulfillment, a part of that prophecy, a part of the signs that we can look to.
Noble
Alaska. We're very fortunate. I know that many people would like to have ways of being able to contact you, Oblesa. How do they do that now? Are you to a point where you are inviting people to contact you? Or?
Yeah. People can contact me on your on Facebook. I have a page and Grand Chief Oblesa. I didn't get to tell you why I have that title. Long ago, back in 1999, I began following the elders to these wonderful council gatherings of the Eagle and the Condor, and then in about 2000, the leader of the elders council said to the people, the other elders, "Well, I'm going to step down now." He says, "We need to have someone else to take on a role of responsibility of helping the people with these prophecies and things that we need to share with the people."
And his name was?
His name was Leon Secatero.
Leon Secatero, yes. We know Leon, well, it's before he passed away. Yes. I was very fortunate to be asked by to stand in for him as the father during a wedding of Uma on the Paiute Res.
Yes.
Oh, this has been a number of years ago, but yes, I remember Leon, and I do recall this. These words of Leon, who is a great man, a beautiful man, who passed this responsibility, great responsibility, and over to you. And at the time, I was fearful. I should not have been. Should have had more faith. But I knew that there was times of darkness that would come to test you and many people. And that is now behind us.
Yeah,
behind you.
At that wonderful gathering, there was, I think, the principal chief of the Cherokee. There was many wise grandmothers, clan mothers from different tribes, and there was like about about 11 or 12 chiefs from the different tribes who participated in the ceremony of making me the Grand Chief. Now, of the Spiritual Elders Mother Earth Council, it was called, and I stepped down from that position to go on with the other work that I have to do. So I, on my website, I on Facebook, I say the former Grand Chief of the Spiritual Elders. And so, Oblesa, Woableza on Facebook. I do have that, which I share many stories of wisdom from the different elders that I found that are online on the internet. There's so wonderful songs and stories of many gatherings. And matter of fact, Irma just called me tonight, and she invited me to one of their ceremonies down her way in Bishop, California. And
oh, beautiful.
At the same time, there's an elder coming all the way from Mexico City, 94 years old, Toltec elder, grandfather, Clacael. He's coming, and he's going to participate with him in the ceremony. We're going to get to be able to meet him and share dinner with him and prayers and whatever else we're going to do at that time. And it's going to be a very spiritual time because it's going to be a solar eclipse in the daytime.
Yes.
It's going to be a powerful time. And he's going to share with us his journey and his vision of how the people were long ago down there south with him in Mexico, and that we did the sun dance with him many, many, many generations ago, and he brought it back to his people, and he just always gives thanks to the coming back of the one big family. He's a very wise man. He gives many gifts to the children and people with his wisdom and his being. And so I'll be happy to meet him and see him.
Oh, that will be a beautiful time, I know. That will be a beautiful time. So that will be taking place later this summer.
Yes, in May.
Oh, my! Very soon.
Yeah, May.
Very soon.
In June is a very busy month. Gathering all different sacred sites and doing wonderful things together.
Yes, we're very fortunate. There are bear dancers there.
Yes.
And I've been fortunate to come and participate in the bear dances. And had my own bear. Was taken up one of the sacred mountains there about a month ago.
That's a real honor. Back in 1996, I attended a traditional honor powwow for a Bear Clan Navajo elder, and the Utes came over from the adjacent reservation, and the bear touched my son, who appears white, but he's more Cherokee than I am because his mother had more blood than I did. But the bear knows his own. The bear knows his own.
Yes.
They helped do a special healing ceremony for me during my recovery, which I really, really appreciated. My family did as well.
Yes.
So really give much thanks to the bear dancers from out west.
Yes, yes.
Many other people on the planet who heard about me through your messages to help me recover and go back to my work. So I'm so happy to be here and be with you and doing this work again.
Yes, yes. It is time.
Mm-hmm.
It is time.
Yes.
So I'm trying to be quiet.
Oh,
see, I'm trying to be quiet to allow more and more conversation between Will and yourself, you know.
I wish I could get on. You know what? I want to try to get my friend Mark on. I don't think this is going to work, but let's try. Mark is a real whiz on the Mayan calendar, and like I said, well, let's give it a try. This fellow is amazing, nothing short of amazing. And I know he's listening.
At the beginning of the summer, Zeke set up gold. We're up to 20 ounces at this point in the day.
And I'd like Mark to, we've got about 19 minutes left, and it'd be nice. Hey, Mark.
Hello?
Yeah, Mark, yeah. You're on the air, believe it or not. I think we've got, let's see. Will Blazer, can you hear us?
Yes.
And Grandfather Lee, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, would you, we've got about 20 minutes left. Why don't you give these two gentlemen their Mayan birthday readings?
Okay. Oh.
Who wants
What's
to go?
What's the date?
Let's do Grandfather Lee first. He's eldest.
Well, I wasn't born. See, I wasn't had no time of my time of, you know. Do I have no birthdays?
Okay.
Your mother might say something different.
See, we do it like we do, you know, how we get new kind of Indians. You know, we kind of we mix them up together.
Ah, right.
It's like you know what you get when you cross a Chickasaw Indian, and you cross a Chickasaw Indian with a Potawatomi Indian, and then you go in and you mix them up again, and you kind of mix in a Paiute Indian. You know what you get out of all of that? A chicken pot
rainbow.
Pie.
A chicken pot pie, yeah.
Yeah, you get chicken pot pie, brother.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Oh,
I
like chicken pot pies. Especially if they're flaky.
Well, whoever wants to volunteer his birthday first gets to go first.
That should honor should be to Oblaze. Let
May
29. May 29.
What year?
1950.
Okay.
May 29, 1950.
Yeah. See, easy.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, your Mayan birth in the traditional day count is a 6 Lamach. It's in the it's the 6th day of the Akbal cycle. That those that combination kind of goes with things about caves, dreaming, intuition. Lamat glyph is commonly connects into the planet Venus, especially the morning star cycle.
I hate to interrupt, but I ran his Torah portion. You know, everyone is supposedly encoded in the Torah, and the first line of the Torah portion is revealing, and it said God spoke to Moses, telling him, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you light the lamps, the 7 lamps shall illuminate the menorah." They're talking about 7 fires.
Yes.
Anyway, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Wow, that sort of fits right in there.
It does.
So, but looking in a little bit more towards earlier in the show, when you first started, you spoke of new times and new calendar. So we're gonna look at the births from another calendar.
They turned a whore.
And it's the one that's ahead of us in the future. Moving backwards on us right now. And it's telling us a little bit more about. Yeah. And I'm looking at 2 flows of time right now, for what we call normal, forward, but also a backward flow. And then also where the 2 time flows unite and unify. So I'll go over real quick with you and tell you about each one. The forward one, moving forward from birth, is talking about unveiling, transformation, change, equality, order, eternity, dynamics of the equality, so a change. It's on a 6th symbol, which is very close to Mayan elder Don Alejandro's. His birth was on the 5th symbol. The connection there. Moving backwards on the backwards flow of time, you have things that have to do with expanding life. I've heard about that being talked about tonight. Enlightenment, fire, courage, light, especially a radial spiraling form of light that would move across the DNA, which you heard talking about earlier as well. Flourishing, prosperity, and awareness. So a lot of things about change in life that relates to life. That particular thing is going to be very close to the end of the 13 buck ton long count. It's going to connect into there just about, I believe, the next day. So it would be the evening of December 22nd, 2012.
Mm.
The connection there. And it has sun energy. So it's an owl or flower cliff. So a lot of things with light and the sun. And the change of world cycles in the Toltec, Aztec, and all that tradition were called suns. The first sun, sixth sun, fifth sun, whatever. You know. And so that's on the backward flow. So a lot of things showing up, probably these types of energies would have been showing up in your life probably since somewhere right around either before or right after 1998. Roughly, just a rough guess. So that those type of things probably have become more prevalent or powerful in your life. Where these two time flows come together, and this third part of it is going to symbolize the the doorway or a bridge between the world cycles. And for it, it's speaking for you of completion, power, balance, correct actions, dimensionality, and dimensionality relating to form and matter. It's also talking about will, purpose, and discipline. So, that is kind of a guiding energy. So there's a guiding energy of purpose, discipline, and will in terms of using correct things and balance to work with the dimensionality. And key word on it is really balance. So balance is going to be one of the very key things that's going to probably operate in your life to move you from one cycle to the next. This particular balancing energy is in the fourth day of the Eek cycle. Blue Otter was born on a day called Nine Eek, so there's the connection between you and him, specifically on that Eek glyph. And the Eek glyph is also called the wind glyph. And so it would relate to earlier when we were talking about Vishnu. One of the derivations of that goes back to wind. So that would connect in here as well. But balance is a very key thing. Balance in completion and purpose, discipline, correct actions, and things like that. So those are very important things, I think. The color of it for this particular symbol is the color green. That particular color, if you go and look at the Mayan Popol Vuh book, as they're moving from one world cycle to another, they actually have a prayer in there. And earlier in the book, they mentioned different paths or roads, the red, the black, the yellow, the white. But when they're moving between the world cycles and the sun is gone and they're in the darkness, they only mention one path, and that's the green path. The green color would be the center color of the rainbow. The green color is the center color of the seven chakra system. The green color is the heart chakra. So, balance of the heart. So that's it.
Thank you. I really appreciate
that. Does
that
make sense to you?
Yeah, a lot. You know, especially around 1998, a lot of things were happening in the world way forward in my spiritual work and my meeting my teachers and becoming a teacher and all these other wonderful things that happened to me. And they helped me get a better understanding of the work that was doing and that I was about to do. And I know my messages from my uncle, Martin Heiber, the medicine man, the Dakota medicine man. He always sends me messages from the spirit world, and he said, you know, that you're doing wonderful work, and he always says, sometimes he sees me kind of running in circles around some of the work that he did, but I don't feel like do anything like that. Just being able to be in his presence when I was in his presence on this plane of earth. He was a wonderful teacher and mentor of mine. And I carry with them all the stone messengers, you know. That's one of my powers, things is the stone nation. That's why I become a prophecy keeper, because Sitting Bull sent me a sacred stone how long ago. And he said it was held in the hands of many prophets. So that showed me I need to follow that work.
Well, we've got 7 minutes left. Do you want to give it a try, Grandfather Lee?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I did not catch what you were saying.
Did you want to volunteer your full birth date?
Oh my! You think it's okay to do that? Did it hurt very much, Wobbly?
Oh no, it didn't.
It did not hurt at all, huh?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe ask him tomorrow.
No, that's true. That's true. I'll ask you tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'm coughing. My date is May 6th.
We don't get the goal. What year?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
And what year would that be?
1946.
Okay, 1946.
So your birth on the Mayan traditional day count was on a day called Four Con. It's actually the fourth day of the entire 260-day cycle, the fourth day of the Imec cycle. Con is a glyph that looks like a seed being planted in the ground. In their culture, typically they would think of it as a corn seed. And this would make a connection back to a particular set of stars, namely the Pleiades.
And of course, Blazes, mentioning the seven fires, that's the seven candlesticks in the Book of Revelations, is the mentioning Jesus holding the seven candlesticks in his right hand, that's the Pleiades.
Now we'll go and we'll do the same thing we did earlier. We're going to look at the two time flows, backwards, forwards, and the balancing one. The forwards one is a green color, so it has all the things we talked about earlier. But yours is not balanced. Yours is your green glyph is joy. I think it was you that mentioned that word several times, bliss and joy, in this conversation. So you've already spoken about your own birth during this interview. It is speaking about rejoicing, things about attracting soul,
and I'm just going to take control of it.
Joy and forgiveness, they worked together. It's actually the beginning day of that particular cycle, so its energy moves across the whole thing, the entire cycle, and this particular day is in the center of the entire, there's a wall mandala of the whole system, and it's actually in the very heart or center of it. It starts that whole cycle. It's also aligned with Hunebku, Mayan word, the one giver of movement and measure, basically everything. So that's moving forwards from your birth forward, from this world cycle into the next. On the backward flow of time, moving from the next world cycle back into our world cycle, your birth is connected to a day called Ten Eek. Blue Otter saw this number mentioned earlier when I sent him an email, 1+9 Eek. So here we see it popping up. It's something that we were talking about earlier. Now it's showing up literally on your birth. And your friend had his balance thing sitting in the Eek cycle. So we have both of you now, all three of you, actually connected into that Eek.
And Eek is all about communicating, urgency.
Spirit. It's also the symbol is a T-cross. If you go to the great Kiva at Chaco Canyon, you'll see a T-cross entering into it. You'll see it Palenque. You'll see it at many of the Pueblo windows. It relates to the wind. It relates to the Quetzal part of Quetzalcoatl. Or Eek relating the wind relates to the one they called the Lord of the Wind and Water, also called the Peacemaker.
The veteran 9/11 operator.
Manitoka, place of peace.
Halle Berry.
Okay. So this one is talking about your Ten Eek is talking about the spirit, the prayer, but the ten has another power energy associated with it.
A killer from her past.
It has an energy of what's called the spherical tone or energy or song of oneness.
Not for you.
So it's a specific type of energy of the Eek, of the communication, and it's about oneness. I think we've heard you talk about that tonight as well. I think you said one whole family or something like that.
Based on the novel from Nicholas Clark.
It's working with
when a mysterious
your friend
in a small North Carolina town.
And this Ten Eek has a partner energy, and it's a transformation change in that.
Well,
we just mentioned a few minutes ago about your friend on the other flow of time.
A widow.
So he's going one way with that energy, you're going the other way. They meet in the center, your inner energies of joy and the weak Eek wind communication spirit. They meet in the center. And they meet on meet on something that speaks of a melody of loving and releasing or unbinding or releasing loyalty, friendship, loyalty, you know, good friends, heart, good virtues, liberation. And again, it's bringing up the Eek energy again with breath,
folks,
communication, prayer.
Blog Talk's going to cut us off in about 5 seconds, and we may get to go over, but otherwise, goodbye.
All right. The last
okay.
thing is the volcano in Africa when that comes.
Okay. Looks like we're
That's
still
a big
together.
Sign.
Blessings to all
in the future.
Peace to all.
Peace to all.
Oh, and I might add, looks like Block Talk's letting us run over. Grandfather Lee, your Torah portion indicates that is associated with the descendants of Aaron, his priests, and it specifically the Haftorah specifically mentions descendancy from Zadok, as in Melchizedek, and mentions wearing turbans, which is what Cherokees do, and being involved with offerings and ceremonies. So you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to know that. Here, I was going to try to figure out how am I going to make a joke out of all this. How am I going to make, you know. But it's been wonderful. It's been beautiful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Will, have a good afternoon, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much.
Stay, honey, we.
Okay.
And have a good evening as well. And just remember, you know, when the people really, really, really need to get ready, it's not in 2012, but it's when the volcano goes off in Africa.
There you go.
Yep.
That's when you really, really need to get ready and listen.
Yes. Then they will.
They will.
Then they will.
That possibly could be the one in the Canary Islands off of Africa. See, us Cherokees, we've always been concerned about the reason why we moved up into the mountains, even though we were seagoing people, is we were afraid of floods because we've known this to happen before. Anyway, stay on your high ground. Well, folks, this has been Prophecy Keepers, and thank you very much for listening, and may Creator bless all of you. And let me say in Cherokee, I love you, which is Gageyui. Good night, folks. This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing, and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files, and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Man, you never could have been a Native American, ever. God. Oh, that's 4 minutes. All right, that's 1 minute. kind of look at the clock. I thought, understand why. If it starts
tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart, keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow, let the truth
thing that you didn't want to watch because it was nasty.
No, I don't know.
Okay, hidden American Farms hidden camera spy, but you didn't want to watch it because it's nasty.
I don't want to.
Okay. Okay, so that settles that. That settles that.
You got it, we will.
I can't keep living here by day. I've been tested all kinds of problems. I've never met one I couldn't help.
Oh, hello.
In my career, I've worked with thousands of cats one-on-one, analyzing their behaviors and retraining them and their guardians. When relationships are at an end, I don't have many more options than to just leave. And cat guardians can reach their
okay.
emotional limit, just
don't.
Get rid of her. I'm
Talk
their last hope.
Oh.
You all right?
I'm sorry.
Cats have 9 lives, but humans... Well, we have one.
You mind if I watch it? Would it be pleasurable for you?
What about watching the next one?
The third.
There was another one that told
you about the next one. Oh, yeah, we know.
I saw two more. There it is.
Okay.
Get my tips on how to better understand your cat.
This one played last July.
Go to animalplanet.com/ There's no place for me in the house.
I love my cat.
I can't deal with it. I'm Jackson Galaxy. I'm a musician by night and a cat behaviorist by day. I've met cats with all kinds of problems. I've never met one I couldn't help. Hello. In my career, I've worked with thousands of cats. One-on-one, analyzing their behaviors and retraining them and their guardians. When relationships are at an end, I don't have many more options than to just leave. And cat guardians can reach their emotional limits.
Just get rid of her.
I'm their last hope. And they're trying to plan a wedding. I have heard of guard dogs before, but a guard cat? Really? Really?
Have you seen this?
I know.
That's
right.
Watcher.
And I'm Andrea, and we've been engaged for 3 months.
My dad's name is Mufasa, and even though it's a boy's name, it's a girl cat.
We got Mufasa from my parents' cat litter, and she was the only long-haired cat.
Aww.
So I convinced Trudy to let us have Mufasa.
She's a very cute black and white Norwegian forest cat. You want to take her out, you want to pet her, but she is an absolute terror.
She's
gonna
like
you. Is she gonna like you or is she gonna not like you? She did anything different or she hates it.
No. Every area that we box in, she gets territorial over.
The top of the refrigerator, by the window, Andrea's desk where she does her work from. Mufasa is probably the number one stressor in our relationship. We want to get married, we're planning on getting married, but whatever we're trying to do, any type of wedding planning, the cat jumps out. creates an argument between us, and the wedding planning pretty much stops. When you're fighting, you don't really want to sit there and pick out invitations to each other.
That's all, girl. I dreamed of having this beautiful wedding, this beautiful gown, walk down the aisle.
forget twice. Everything. No.
No, I'm not going to go out there in the middle of the fucking night.
With a good daylight, I'll walk out there and fix it.
Yeah.
You're going to be patient. You're going to be patient.
These are the kind of simple solutions that love. It's not going to make Mufasa any less territorial, but it is going to make Andrea's workday a whole lot easier. The next thing I want to see, if you could just pretend you're getting a glass of water or something, let's see how that goes. I really wanted to go into the kitchen area because Andrea and Rudy both told me that that's been a sight of problems, specifically the top of the fridge. Uh-oh, now she's in that place, right? Now she's in her tree place. So as soon as they went in there, sure enough, Mufasa goes to the top of the fridge. Now she's giving me the evil eyes. And the entire time, I saw Mufasa watching her like she was watching a juicy steak, waiting to pounce. It was about to happen. So if I said that she can't be up here, what's going to happen?
Now I'm trying to take her down. Take her down. I usually got the chair and the oven.
All right, let's do it, please. Yeah, the oven mitt is sitting there and ready, right? Is this a daily occurrence with you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty handy.
Alright, not good. These are those weird rituals that people build around dysfunctional relationships with their cat that over time just become what we do. And now I'm here to say, this isn't what you do. You just open the closet. So you usually keep that closed?
Yeah, man. Everything is full of hair, and we just have to close it. Just can't have her back there.
So, now okay. Now we're pissed. Honestly, I'm a little bit at a loss for words right now. I mean, Norwegian forest cats are supposed to be confident tree dwellers. They are supposed to, like, watch their domain from up high. Well, from what I saw, Mufasa does not feel confident up there. And, as a matter of fact, once she gets down in the closet, she was also unconfident. So this is why I need alone time with this cat to try to figure her out a little bit. So, if you guys can maybe step outside for a little bit,
okay.
And I'm going to hang out a little bit here, okay?
All right.
Not as normally. Something I look forward to. I want to get to know you without your people around. This time, however, I got to tell you, I'm a little scared. After seeing their bodies, seeing what this cat's done, and seeing what she's capable of. You want to show me what you made up here? You going to go right after me? Son of a gun. My game plan was to discover Mufasa's challenge. You got to show me what you made up here. The idea behind the challenge line is very simple. Every cat has this place where they're very fearful of going past. When I find what it is, we can set that line in the sand and gently, at the end of the day, say, I need you to step over it. Let's see how long it takes you to rebound, because that's, again, a really important facet of our relationship here. Yeah, what's okay, right? Oh, you like that.
We love it. We love our cat.
She forgave me as quickly as she hated me. That was a great little moment. So, got some really good information.
I also got really nicely set up. So,
now we can all put our hands down, right? Now we can all.
But she really, when she nails you, she nails you.
I guess in one respect, I felt bad because I don't want anyone to get attacked by our cat at any time. And at the same time, it was kind of reassuring for us to know that, okay, we're not crazy. It's not just us. You know, even Jackson can get cut by this cat.
One of the things I want you to know is that she's territorially aggressive. And that's our biggest issue. Every time she gets into these tree-dwelling positions, for instance, where she's at right now, she looks relaxed and everything. But if you stood up off the edge of that couch, you'd get beat up. That's going to happen. So, conclusion, we're not going to let it happen. The first thing I'm going to have you do, I really want you guys to rearrange the furniture. We have to make it so that you don't have to grow eyes in the back of your head. Part of that, which was taken to death, is
pushing it with the bookcase.
Yep.
I want the cap to here, right? And then I want you to block off the top of the fridge. You couldn't make a glass of water. That's not allowed anymore, okay? Now, as we take these spots away, we need to give her places where she feels more secure. I like the post. I like the fact that she can look out the window. I want this window to sort of belong to her because she's much more interested in the window than she really is the back of your head. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
The second thing is I want you to start re-examining that closet. I'd like to start thinking about how do you keep your clothes in there to keep the door open. The floor becomes Mufasa playland. Very important, okay? Mufasa needs a sanctuary. As we've seen, she chooses the closet when she's feeling stressed out. So we should cater to that. The last thing is I don't like what I saw in terms of your reaction. It really bothers me that you get so scared. When we're talking about a cat like Mufasa, it's all about the energetics in the room. So you have to come from a place of absolute stillness and calm. On paper, the homework looks simple, but it's not. I'm not just asking them to completely rearrange their apartment. I'm asking them to completely rearrange the way they approach Mufasa. It's going to take time, but if they want a better relationship with their cat, then they're going to have to take this homework incredibly seriously. All right. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Appreciate it. Talk to you next time, right?
All right, take care. So I watched the video of homework from Rudy and Andrea, and there was some great stuff. I mean, they turned their entire living room around. The couch, the desk, that's pretty amazing. I also saw Andrea just start to turn her energy around. That all was really good to see.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good, thanks.
Now, we still have work to do, and I don't know what I'm going to see when I walk in. All
right, guys, so it's been a couple of weeks. You still got a wedding to plan. How's that going, first and foremost?
A lot better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I've noticed a lot since I've changed my body language towards Mufasa. We're able to do things. We're able to talk to each other and get some things done for the wedding.
Good.
And I'm not constantly in fear of her anymore.
No. There's still been a couple of attacks, but it is far less. Maybe down to like one every 2 days.
All right, well, that's interesting.
Now, as always, I want to get up, walk around, see what you guys have done. So,
right.
I think I'll walk around. First thing that you identified for me was problem up here. Right, so you said you tried to block off.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best you came up with?
Yeah.
We went to the kitchen, and immediately, Mufasa goes to the top of the fridge.
Cool.
So not only did they not successfully block off the top of the fridge, they didn't even come close to achieving what they needed. Mm-hmm. I want you to see this, okay? As I come in here, do not interrupt this place. Okay, you see her face right now? Do you see the licking of the lips?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the fact that she will strike out at me? This is why this can't exist anymore. I mean, you did try to address it, but in essence, we've kind of made it worse.
Right.
I think it's time to leave her alone up there. Let's move forward. So, we stopped at the closet, and it had to be the biggest surprise of the day. The last time I was here, I said I wanted to see her be able to use the bottom of the closet. What do we got going on in here?
Well, we had tried to make a space on the bottom, but there's just no way. We don't have enough space for our clothes. Everything is full of hair, and we just have business clothes. We just can't have her back there. So, now she can't get the turn.
I asked you to do something, and you not just ignored it, but threw it back in my face.
We can't have her going in there.
This is the only closet that we have.
I know.
We don't even have any other closet.
I got really upset that these guys decided that a little bit of hair on their clothes was more important than the work with their cat. I know that you would love to hear me say, fine, let's just leave it alone. If we had more room, I might say that.
The other only place they have to keep our lives.
No, I get it. I get the fact that you're trying to protect your clothes, but I know there's a solution. Try garment bags. Try plastic. Just get creative. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you and your cat. I'm telling you one thing. If I come back the next time and they give me another excuse about that closet, I'm done. I'm walking out. So, your homework this week is the closet. The bottom line is, there is a way to protect your clothes, keep the closet for you, keep the bottom for her. It is the ultimate compromise, and I know it can be done.
We want to help Mufasa. We're not going to do it if it means destroying all our clothes. Tell them they have no idea how we're going to do that.
We're going to block off that bridge. We've got to get to that and make sure that she cannot get up there. All right? And finally,
wondering what this is?
Yeah.
So this is the beginning of your rock face wall. Her ancestors could climb up your rock face wall. And your cat doesn't have that wall to climb. I want to see that area right there become that rock face wall. I think it's going to give her a positive activity to explore vertically the way she was meant to do. So, you know, that's about as creative as my gift gets. Now, you go, you just go run with it, all right? You got any questions on that one?
No.
You sure about that?
I think so. I'm definitely skeptical this couple is going to get this job done. I mean, they could barely figure out the closet and a rock wall 10 times.
made for. All the hopes that I had for Rudy, Andrea, and Mufasa, I saw today. This is it. I wanted to see a trio that was united, ready to move forward in their lives. They now 100% share their world, both physically and emotionally, with Mufasa, and that makes everything work. Great meeting you.
Yeah,
thanks a lot. It was wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. You too.
We'll talk to you soon.
Really can't thank Jackson enough for everything he's done. You know, we can plan our wedding.
I think we will definitely reach the end goal of getting married and having a happy cat and just a happy home.
Pretty cool.
He destroys everything I own.
Hello, we're in the house.
Roscoe's king of the castle. You know, and I moved into his territory. This isn't working.
Morning, Brian.
Yeah,
it's
Amber.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, name Roscoe. Let's go to
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go over there right now. See what I can do to help. I'm Ruben.
I'm Danielle. And we've been living together for a little over a year.
Danielle and I met at a Halloween party.
And it was insult at first sight. And I insulted him back later. I got my cat Roscoe at an animal shelter. It was just kind of he and I for several months. And then I met Ruben.
Roscoe's king of the castle. You know, and I moved into his territory.
It's a little bit of a war in the house for male status and hierarchy.
Yeah. Roscoe, stop. He destroys everything I own. He knocks things over. There's no place for me in the house.
Roscoe, no.
Yeah. I come home, and I open up the door. The house is trash.
Not good.
Look, you hear a claws out. Oh, God, we need to get him. You can tell him to get off something.
We gotta get down.
Yeah. Roscoe doesn't get off. He owns it. He doesn't have boundaries. If I'm in the kitchen cooking, cat just moseys up and starts checking out what I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Mr. Wilson.
Stop it.
I come in, or
with Roscoe,
you know.
Roscoe!
Come on. Oh, I'm forgetting a sport now.
Roscoe is a very real function. Curious, genius of cats, but he's a sweet cat. I love my cat.
I can't deal with it. We need help. We need Jack because this, you know, isn't working.
All I want is for everyone to get along. Ruben, me, and Roscoe. Happy family.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
Boom.
Hi, how are you? Jack.
Oh, good girl.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. Can we have lift
off? How are you? Yeah. Tell me about Roscoe.
We have lift
off. Our cat came into the environment outdoor. Remember your cat?
Yeah, he's our cat, but I think I totally still consider him to be my cat.
Yeah.
I think Ruben's frustrated with the situation more so. I think I'm more so frustrated with Ruben.
Yeah, that's not good for me. Roscoe frustrates me. I frustrate Danielle. He'll come between us, you know, and he likes to make his space, and then if I were to get up to get a drink, he'll take my space. She just goes, oh, you know, it's because your seat's warm, but he doesn't do it when she gets up. Because he'll even look at me. You know, and I can't move because he'll damage me, you know? If Roscoe is misbehaving, Danielle will be like, oh, Ruben, can you make him stop? It's like she doesn't want to, in any way, have to show him that negative kind of response that I feel like I have to show him. Like,
would you ever?
I didn't think that you could be different other than just to tell them no and to stop because I thought they were very independent. They're not like dogs.
I have no cats that can learn.
Okay, well, no.
Danielle, you get off the counter.
Me.
Ruben and Danielle can look at Roscoe and see two totally different cats. Amazing. Kind of mad. I want it better, and I'm here for a chance to make it good. But I at this point, I don't have many more options than to just deal with it or leave.
And this is a big problem.
This is a new relationship, and this cat is already splitting these two apart. That's not a good thing.
Here's the ottoman. He's made it his territory.
He's like Freddy Krueger. This is ottoman number two.
What? And okay. This is Ruben's lamp, which he likes.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
The only cats that ever treat me like that, I'll spank their butt. Spank their butt. Pop, pop. Put them up by the neck. Pop, pop. Put them now.
That's what you do. I'm glad you finally shared that with me. But please don't end the movie. I can't get the skills.
I don't see any toys.
He like stole that out of one of my baskets when he goes through my stuff.
First of all, it's creepy.
Yeah. Right?
Well, it's even if I like the legless edition. The saddest looking thing I saw the entire time I was here was a creepy looking little doll that was sitting in the middle of the floor, and that passed for a cat toy? Let's keep moving. I don't even like you in the kitchen.
He's a chef. He's very sanitary.
Well, okay. So you're a chef.
A little Jewish boy.
You're in your kitchen. You're using all of this space, right?
Ruin.
But don't think it down. He won't listen, and if I put him down, he'll just get back up. And then, if I have to put him down, for me, now I need to wash my hands again. All right, what else we got going on? Now we go into the biggest territorial seat in the whole house, and that's the bed. The bed is always a real big, important place for cats.
Yeah. Well, I guess, personally, I wouldn't want him on the bed. If Danielle's in the bed, right, and say I'm brushing my teeth, he'll be on my side of the bed.
That's not true.
It's so true.
In Ruben's eyes, we're looking at do no right Roscoe. In Danielle's eyes, we're looking at do no wrong Roscoe. In the middle is where I gotta get these guys looking at the same cat. I would just like push them, try to like get them to the side of it.
Beautiful cat.
Get them up.
All right.
No, stop.
There you go.
And then just off. Stay off the bed. But he'd always. Down. How does it make you feel that every single time that you say no and that you say I don't want you here like that, he's bad? Well, how does that make you feel?
I'm gonna be sleeping with mommy and then you can go somewhere else.
I'm looking at him. Like, are we looking at the same animal? And then I realize
you are.
He has been gathering resentment. Like this is the deal.
Yep, there we go.
Am I going to
his ass.
Get in the bed. There you go. There we go. Now, let's see what happens. Look, he's looking for me to move. He's going to attack. Ruben sees Roscoe through these just hate-colored glasses. The guy just does not like this cat. So really, anything he does, he sticks an ulterior motive on. For instance, the cat's walking around the room. Oh, he's looking for trouble. The cat sits on the couch. He's trying to get my territory. The cat lays on the bed. He's trying to push me out.
This is a great opportunity right there.
Some good stuff. He's still very much a teenager. What I am here to tell you is that he's normal. It isn't about him. It's about your perception of him.
I've never met anybody that could look me in the face and tell me that I was the problem and it'd be so endearing.
Now, the first thing I want to demonstrate to you guys is what we have toy-wise for him, all right? See how he sees it? I am not giving it to him. Not by a long shot. Now, what happened? Come on. He's like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I can't do it for one more second. And he goes like this. Boom. Right? Now he's done it.
I've never seen Roscoe react like that to anything. He's jumping in the air, trying to kill this thing. But, like, playing, and having the greatest time.
Do you know that if you do this for about 15, 20 minutes with him every single day, what's going to happen? He's going to get freaking tired. If he gets freaking tired, he'll go to sleep. Now, you guys get rest. Okay, homework time. So here's the stuff that I need you to do over the next couple of weeks. First thing is the commitment to play. It's more than just play. It's wearing him down. It's routine. This is a new home for you. I want you to start filling it up with things that are destination points for him. This lamp, it serves you no purpose except to piss you off.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. I want you to start
thinking about getting trees for him, things to go up on to be able to look out the window and see the world, things to go up on by the counter where he can watch you cook, because eventually we're going to train him to sit there. I gave you guys everything you need. I will see you next time.
Thank you.
It was great to meet you. Very nice to meet you. It was great to meet you too. We'll talk to you next week. All right. Bye.
Bye. I'm going to try and apply everything Jackson said as much as I can. I'm hoping I don't fall into my old routine so quickly.
We're pessimistic people.
Wow. We got to work it out. I've seen the cat come between couples many times before, and if Ruben doesn't change his attitude towards Roscoe, his whole relationship with Danielle is at risk.
Looks like your bags didn't make it. We'll send them to your hotel.
What do you think it cost to fly with
Roscoe? Hello.
Your bags, sir.
Thanks.
One taste and you'll understand. Enjoy delicious Dunkin' Donuts coffee anytime. Best vacation ever. Pick them up where you buy groceries. America runs on Dunkin'.
$5 foot long. How about a $5.24 foot long? $5 all March long. That's all the pizza, salad, pasta, and dessert you can eat for just $5. Cece's and with pizza and with value.
What's my turn? Well, I have to be smarter. A good sense of direction. The taste of music. And, of course, good looks. With nice curves. That gets my temperature rising every time we touch. And that exotic name. Wait, are we talking about cars?
When news breaks, you have to be prepared to ask tough questions and get the truth. Unfortunately, my hair and all I do to make it broadcast ready can't take the heat. Good thing I am covered. Head and Shoulders Damage Rescue. It rescued my scalp and saved my hair.
With 7 benefits, Damage Rescue removes dry scalp and removes flakes while helping to repair damaged hair.
Now I use it every day because the camera never blinks. No flakes, no scalp or hair worries. The proof? See it tonight at 11.
Head and Shoulders Damage Rescue. Okay. It's flake free. She has a sore throat. Does anyone have a Ricola? Ricola Dual Action for coughs and sore throats. Naturally effective relief.
Hey, can you give me a lift to a couple of auto parts stores?
Why waste your time and gas when all you have to do is go to rockauto.com? See thousands of parts, even for your old car. Super fast shipping and amazing low prices.
Wow.
At rockauto.com, you'll find the pictures, specifications, and application details you need to choose the right parts at great prices. Your office. Rock Auto. All the parts your car wants.
Attention vaginal mesh implant victims. A jury just awarded $11 million to a transvaginal mesh patch victim. If you've had complications after surgery, tissue erosion or disintegration, infection, mesh protrusion, pain during sexual intercourse, or need additional surgery, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Vaginal mesh victims, to find out about the $11 million award and to see if you are entitled to compensation, call 800-800-8018. Call now, 800-800-8018.
There's a saying that you can't have too much of a good thing.
Oh.
You're talking about cute puppies. We tend to agree. Start with a dash of sugar. Add a pinch of spice. And you've got the recipe for a show that's just too cute to puppies. A new episode, Saturday at 8. Only on Animal Planet.
I'm going in to visit Daniel and Ruben for the second visit. I'm a little nervous because Roscoe is really high energy. Roscoe, stop. And Ruben fed up with the cat and liked the cat. Personally, I wouldn't want him on the cat. It's going to take a big turnaround in Ruben's attitude to change his relationship with Roscoe.
What's
the
thing with
that?
Well,
sorry, man.
Hi, Jackson. Very good to see you again.
Okay.
What's he been doing? What have you guys been doing?
The last time that you were here, I felt kind of hit pretty hard with the, you know, realization that I was most of the problem, you know, and I came to terms with that.
Good. Let's take a look at the homework itself.
We're done with this, Lamb. Thank you, Roscoe. And that is just going in the trash.
Look, it's so comfortable in there. That'll be a home.
You tired?
Are you good?
There's some great stuff on there. I didn't see on the video that I'm a little disappointed in is the quality of play between the two of you is still something that we need to work in. There's that really kind of quintessential picture of you just going like this. You have to exhaust him. The only way to exhaust him is to fully indulge him. I'm not seeing that from you in your footage.
I mean, sometimes he exhausts me.
Are you pretty exhausted?
Yeah.
I have something for you. Give me a second. Let me bring it back in here because I think it'll help the exhaustion level. Give me a second, right? So Ruben stands there and he plays like this, and then he complains about being exhausted. Hello. That's not how it works. The cat's supposed to get exhausted. We got to work on that.
Okay. Wow.
Right? So there comes a point where this cat's wearing you out, and what we're going to do, we just start to turn him on.
What?
Wow.
And this should impress him. Speak of the devil. Look at you.
Jackson surprised us. New toy for Roscoe. And Roscoe loves it.
The bottom line, watching something like this, I hope that you guys are making this connection also, that Roscoe, he is not a spiteful cat. He's not doing things to piss you off. He's doing things because he has got an incredible amount of energy. And he is bored. This is the way to get him to stop destroying your house. It's not discipline. It's just giving him all the exercises he desperately needs.
I guess I'm kind of selfish. I mean, Roscoe's a cat. Roscoe's being a cat. You know, I just need to stop being aggravated easily.
Well, the first thing, nice. This is exactly what I asked for, basically. I asked Ruben to get Roscoe's stool so we could watch him cook. Roscoe needs to have his own space so he won't walk on the counter. Now, you're saying that he gets up here, but that's a clear invitation for him to have him up here. So, what we're going to do, we get him here, we tempt him here, but with cats, in terms of stillness, the one thing that works is finding that treat, that thing that's going to make him go, this is a clicker stick, right? So, what I'm trying to get him to do is touch his nose to this. He touches his nose, he gets reward. Okay? So, this is where jackpot treat comes in. Because he will do anything for that treat. The jackpot treat is very simple. I want something that Roscoe is going to go, oh my God, I have to have that. What is it, steak? Is it shrimp? Is it chicken? What is the taste that will drive him towards the goal so that the treating becomes easier? So he comes over, as soon as he touches his nose to that treat, this happens. Touching this means this needs treat. Right? So then, as time goes on, that click itself is loaded for him. It means good stuff is going to happen. Now, the next thing I want you to do is tempt him up here. You take the stick, you drag it up, but as soon as he gets up there, he sits, push. Eventually, he's going to sit there watching you prepare the meal. At the end of that meal is the treat.
Jackson seems to have this idea that, you know, Roscoe will be able to learn from this clicker training, and I don't know how confident I am. I mean, that seems pretty difficult to me.
Let me give you this week's homework. You know, Roscoe will be Roscoe. He is a little bit of a Dennis the Menace. I need you to play more. You got to play with gusto. He's got to be exhausted, not you. Next, I need you to commit to
commit to this cooking class over here. He sits there while you cook. The only way that happens is with the clicker training. That jackpot treat is the key to everything. And that's it for you guys. I will see you guys in a few weeks. Enjoy your time with him. Thank you so much for visiting us again.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
I really hope that Ruben and Danielle put in the effort to play with Roscoe, not to tire him out and to train him to sit on that stool, because otherwise, this cat's going to tear this couple apart.
In the nation, we don't do things halfway. Add brand new belongings from Nationwide Insurance. And we won't just give you partial value of things.
Huh?
Roscoe. Reuben the chef was getting really aggravated that Roscoe was walking around the counters of his clean kitchen, especially when he was trying to cook. I wanted him to find that jackpot treat, that flavor that would allow us to train Roscoe to sit while Reuben cooked. I'm going to go find out if that works.
Hello.
Hi, man.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Tell me, what's going on? How are you doing?
Way better. Before Roscoe was such a splendid relationship, now that I did hate that cat. He's really not tearing apart our furniture anymore.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Ruben plays with him a lot more.
It's fun to play with him, you know? It's rewarding.
We had a bunch of toys to make him run around. But he's tired a lot more.
And that was the thing that originally made you insane about him.
Yeah.
With that energy level.
You mean somebody's getting a little tired? I did the jackpot treat.
You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Joe Biden. And
you should be to
But she was. They met back in July 2008, when then-Senator Barack Obama was campaigning to be president. He addressed a crowd in Fargo, North Dakota.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion to the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome. So we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for a man, woman, and child.
Yeah.
It's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
Well, here's President Obama earlier this week.
I just want
being
you
asked
to
about
that.
The national debt approaching $17 trillion. We don't have an immediate crisis in terms of debt. In fact, for the next 10 years, it's going to be in a sustainable place. My goal is not to chase a balanced budget just for the sake of balance. Joining us out from Lower Manhattan, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill, who teaches at Columbia University. I mean, this is rich. This is really rich. Point and fun. So then Senator Obama is complaining about Bush adding $4 trillion to the national debt in 8 years.
Children of
we try to keep our heads above four. Try to.
Remember? 45. Right? Yeah. Now, this is real good. This is good.
Yeah. I remember getting to the last 45.
We endure. But you know, there is more Chinese than I thought was. She doesn't believe in the future. Because, like the Chinese, she doesn't think she deserves. George, you're gonna show her she does. You're still in love with her. Not me. I'm one who was engaged.